Welcome to Sausage on a Fork, a podcast dedicated to the UK's longest-running children's drama programme, Grange Hill. My name's Neil, and in each episode, I'll interview a former cast member about their life before, during, and after their time on the programme. Okay, welcome to the latest episode of Sausage on a Fork, and I am absolutely delighted to say that I have been joined for this episode by none other than Charlie McDonough, who played Lisa West. Charlie, welcome to Sausage on a Fork.
Hello, it's so nice to be here. I mean, it is a bit cathartic. I think I'm probably going to be selfish going back through some really good memories, but I'm so excited.
Brilliant. That's what we want. Okay, Charlie, well, what we'll do is we'll start the way we start every episode. And if you can tell us how you first got into acting.
It was purely by accident. I used to dance quite a lot as a tiny baby, like 3, 4, 5. And then my nan and granddad said to my mum, look, she needs more. I mean, I always thought I was going to be a dancer, but if you're honest, and you saw me dancing, you'd be like, no, that's not for you. So my nan and granddad, I think, were a bit like, she's got something, but it's not dancing. Right. So we want to send her to drama. So I went to this local drama school in Bushy. There's a really old lady. She's quite famous. Her name was Stella Greenfield. And I went in, my nan took me to this place. It's sort of like in an old house, you know, like, you know, I can explain it. It's like dentists in a house, that sort of
stuff. All right. Yeah.
And I went in for a drama lesson, and they happened to confuse me with a child that they had on their books, like their agency.
All right.
And it was for, I don't know, but people might remember this, but Fuella Benjamin, Hullabaloo.
All right. Yeah.
Program. They confused me with somebody else. And I walked into this audition, did the audition. I thought it was a drama, like a drama lesson, and I got the job. Like, where did this kid come from? We don't know who he is. And I was like, oh, I just thought I was here for a drama lesson. And that was it. It just sort of went on from there. I stayed with them for a little bit. I was very lucky as a kid. I managed to book quite a few jobs.
Right.
I think although people say, you know, it's talent. Of course it's talent, but I do think it's right place, right time as well. Uh-huh. You're seen by the right people and you're constantly up. I did Annie Get Your Gun in the West End. After that, and I had to dye my hair red for that, which my mum was not, and it was obviously naturally blonde, not bleach blonde like this, but you know, it was naturally blonde and it was bright red. And I did Les Mis, and you know, I did a Ready Brett commercial, and I did loads of stuff as a kid. And I just loved it, and I just worked all the time. I did, you know, kids, the BBC did a whole educational series that loads on that. I was just very lucky. I worked constantly. Yeah. I went to Germany on a commercial, I went to France on a commercial. Wow. So I was lucky. I think from the ages of about, well, I must have been about 6 probably when I got Hullabaloo, up until, that doesn't seem like a long time, it's only 4 years, but obviously from the ages of 6 to 10 you change quite a lot, don't you? And 10 was when I got Grange Hill.
Yeah, because I was looking, and you also were in Paul Merton, Galton and Simpsons. Like, were you aware? Because Paul Merton at the time was huge. Like, Were you aware of how big he was?
No, not at all. There's a boy that I went to school with who's he's very well known sort of in the musical theatre world. His name's Stephen Webb.
I want to talk to you about him.
So he played my brother, but I knew him as my brother, but then later on I went to school with him, but that's another story. And we had no idea. We had no clue. I didn't know who he was. No. And my mum was like, oh, he's really famous. And I was like, I don't know what you're saying, mum. I don't know who these people are. And they were all lovely. I can't tell you how. And I was really ill. We filmed it in Nottingham, and I hadn't stayed away from home much at that point. And we had to stay away, and I was with a chaperone, a lovely chaperone, Jean. And I was really sick in the night, Neil, like throwing up everything the night before. But I still went to work the next day. You just do. And it was amazing. And it was the first thing, I think it's the first and last thing I've ever done with a live audience.
Right. Wow.
And it was a really old fashioned type 90s setup where a comedian went out, you know, like a warm up comedian.
Yeah.
That was pretty good fun, actually. Brilliant. Yeah, that was good.
Stephen Webb, who you've just mentioned, a lot of people might know him as being Alistair Scott in The Inbetweeners.
Yes.
So I'm guessing he was nothing like Alistair Scott.
Nothing like Alistair Scott. And I will tell you, he is, incredibly funny. If anybody watches him now, he does a lot on TikTok, a lot on Instagram.
Right.
He's just gone to Leeds to do a Dolly Parton show as well. He's
All right,
he was in Book of Mormon. I don't know if anybody's seen it. Very funny musical show. Absolutely amazing.
Uh-huh.
But just someone that had a lot of talent and just...
Yeah.
But also, I was lucky that I came from a sort of ilk of people that were very professional.
Uh-huh.
We didn't know anything else, so we just worked. That's all we knew how to do.
Yeah.
Which sort of you can see as you see those people now doing well, and you think, well, they knew what to do then.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, like you say, you worked with Paul Merton and Nigel Planer. Was there anyone else, like any other sort of big names you worked with back then?
I would say that he was probably the biggest
right.
at the time. Did I? Yeah, definitely for then. Afterwards, obviously.
Oh, and Floella Benjamin, of course. Like,
oh, Floella Benjamin was huge. I think, yeah, I would say at the time he was probably the most famous person I've worked with. Yeah.
Right. Okay, cool. All yeah. right, then. So we'll talk then about Grange Hill. So it went on air in 96, or when 97, so it would have been 96 when you were filming it. So were you a fan of Grange Hill?
So I dipped in and out of Grange Hill as
right.
a kid, but I think I was very young because uh-huh. I would have only been, when I first started casting for it, I was only 10, because this right. is what they've had. I can't tell you, Neil, how many auditions I went for.
Right.
Because I don't think they were sure. I know that probably people have mentioned this before, but you have licensing days when you're a child. And my licensing days would have been different to the boys. So they couldn't, right. because they were a bit older than me, they couldn't. You'll see if I say to you now, there's bits where you think, oh God, why is she not in it?
Yeah.
And it probably was because I'd done my days and they could keep working.
Right.
So that was, I think, a big thing for them. So that was always an issue. But yeah, I was 10 when I cast for it. So I must have been maybe dipping in and out of it since I was about 7. I think the first sort of stuff I watched was like the Justine and the
right.
Sean Maguire type
yeah.
age. That's probably when I first started looking at it, and it was massive. It was all, to me, looking back now, it was huge.
Yeah.
And I tried to explain to my children, not that they have any concept of it.
You can't yeah.
watch things online now. You could only watch what was on kids' TV between 3 and 5. That was it. So it was a captive audience. So to me, it was huge.
Yeah.
It was massive, and it actually was true. Like things like that. Children watching on TV now, I don't think ring true to real life. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. And I know they probably can't show the stuff that Grange Hill used to. But somehow uh-huh. I think, is that fair? You know, is that really? It's not. I don't know if we're doing kids any justice there, really.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, I was, and then the I was really sort of into it. I can't think of what Alan's character would have been, but Alan Cave.
Oh yeah, and, Dennis.
Yeah, and. All that year, I really watched it, and I can't remember. Was it Amy Arnie?
Arnie, Amy, yeah,
them too. And the boy in it, Martin, was his name Martino? I can't remember.
Yeah, Joe Willie. He played Joe Williams.
Yeah, yeah. That was when I watched it, and obviously when I first started, they'd either just left a couple of years before that. And I remember walking into the chaperone's room and they had a wall of all publicity pictures.
Yeah.
And that's when it dawned on me. I was like, oh my God, I'm actually here.
Brilliant.
God, I'm actually here. this is not happening. So yeah, I was definitely a fan. I wasn't like an avid fan, but I knew of it. I was more of a Biker Grove girl, really.
Oh, right. No, you can't say that on here. Okay. Moving swiftly on.
I think Grange Hill was probably a bit too close to home for me. I was already living it.
Right, okay. okay, so at the first scene that we see you in series 20, and it became apparent early on that Lisa was just mates with lads, like it wasn't really any sort of, the first scene you're actually playing football with the boys, with Cracker and Tom, or Speedy as he was known back then,
and then it just sort of faded
yeah,
away.
Yeah, and then Mr. Jones, Dyad, was given the kids grief about an assault course, and Speedy said that Mr. Jones needed sorting out. The Cracker dared him to do it, and Speedy said not to dare him because he was going to do it. So Cracker said he double dared him, and the legend, the Grange Hill institution of the double dare gang was born.
It's
So
that
the
line, you know, it will stay with me forever because I remember Ollie's little, like, because we're so young, I remember his little face. Don't dare me. I dare you. Don't double dare me. And it was just born from that, wasn't it? And that was it.
Brilliant. But can you remember what the first day was?
That's there. Was it to do something to Die Hard? Did we
It
do something to
was.
him? Did he sit on the chair or something and
That was it.
something like that? That's what I remember. I remember being gutted that it wasn't me that got to do the first one.
Right. So it
I
was.
remember thinking, oh, I wanted it to be me.
So Matt had to put a stink bomb
That was it,
on his
stinky one.
chair
Yes.
during assembly. Because obviously, Matt's the other one who we haven't mentioned yet. Lisa, Matt, Cracker, and Speedy, as he was called then. And during that scene, when Matt was doing it, he actually had to crawl through Lisa's legs in the assembly
Yes. Oh,
to
God,
get
yeah, I
there.
remember that.
So Lisa was sat behind Die Hard, meaning she was under suspicion for it, but they did get away with it in the end. But the next one was against Alec.
This is my probably one of my favorite memories I can ever tell you,
Right, yeah.
because I think we were probably the first year in a while that had a lot of airtime. Like we weren't just gradually sort of introduced. We were bam, that was it. We were in.
Yeah.
There was no, we were constantly being seen. Like when I've looked back at episodes now, I think I've got a lot of screen time for kids that
Yeah.
are new.
Well, you were in over your 6 years, you were in 91 episodes. Like, I'm not gonna lie, researching Lisa West has been an absolute ball ache for me because of how many episodes you were in.
They couldn't get rid of me, Neil. I was always knocking on script edit the door. Let me be a part of that. I was a bit, I'm not going to lie, I was very pushy. I wanted that screen. I was going to get
Brilliant, brilliant. So yeah, so going back to the story then about Alec, then they had to get Alec some way, and it was Lisa that had to do it. And while they were talking, planning it, and talking about it, Speedy said, "Oh yeah, Lisa's just one of the lads." Like, because Matt was saying about, "Oh, I think she could be like quite pretty and stuff," and he was just, "Yeah, but she's just one of the lads." So we see Lisa get a load of custard, if you remember that,
Yeah.
for it. And then she gave all the lads a red cap.
That is the hats that I remember. And then
Yeah.
I had this one like montage bit with Jamiroquai in it. And I think it
Right.
might have been Cosmic Girl. And it just, when I watch it back, I'm like,
Yeah.
oh my God, I'm a star. This is so amazing. And it was so much fun, Neil. I feel sorry for Tom, obviously, who played it, because he had to do it. There was no stunt doubles. We weren't, you know. And we, back in those days, like when I first started, we used to do 2 weeks rehearsal. Like,
Right.
so you don't get that on any TV drama or soap or anything now. We did 2 full weeks rehearsal before we did the shooting of the whole block, which I know people have mentioned before, so everyone knows what it is, but the series is divided into. And we had to rehearse it because they didn't want him to get covered in, because of continuity, obviously he would have had to get changed, get showered, do it again. And time costs money, you know? So we had to get it exactly right. But I was desperate to get it wrong just a few times. Obviously, I knew I was going to do. And it was great. I mean, what a way to start. Like, oh, obviously, I didn't get the first dare, but the second dare was me throwing a custard pie at someone running downstairs and the boys running off in hats. It was
Yeah.
brilliant. It was great fun to shoot. It really was.
Brilliant. But that, like, because Alec had to chase them all through the school, didn't get any of them. But then later on, that sort of leads on to like all the other bits that Matt had with Alec,
Yeah.
didn't it? Because it was Alec's way of getting it back. Now, there was another one where Matt had to pull a Mooney out the science lab window, but he didn't want to do it in case the teacher saw him and would know it was him. Like,
Yeah.
so. Can you
So
remember?
they obviously would have seen his bum
Can you
beforehand,
remember
would
what
they?
Lisa said to him at that point?
No.
So Lisa says, "Well, what's so special about your bum?"
Oh, I love it.
So he took the forfeit to eat
Yeah,
the
that is
stale
script
food.
writing at its finest.
So yeah, because he had to eat, he had took a forfeit then of eating like stale food
Yeah,
or
I remember
something.
this. Because I remember we had like this little hut that we filmed, and
Yeah.
it comes up a few times, obviously, you know, like
Yeah.
with the Adam stuff and the hockey gear and that. And I have a vivid memory of him sitting eating stuff out of like a polystyrene bowl. And I remember thinking, oh, Rob, don't do that. It's not good. But yeah, though, that was good. The thing I remember as well is, I don't know if this was the next one, but Tom doing a streak. Was that the next one? Was that, would
Yo,
that be too far ahead then?
that thing then of him eating the stale food, that's where Alec sort of got onto him because he was getting sent home and he went to his locker and Alec saw the red cap in his locker and
Oh,
realized sort of
yeah.
what had happened. Like Speedy then came over and said, "Oh no, that's mine." So then they had like they were arranging a boxing match.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. This is bad, isn't it? I don't remember, but it's so long ago. But now you're saying it does ring
Yeah.
bells.
And then it was he wouldn't back down, and it was Lisa in the end sort of had a chat with him and was like, "You can't be doing this." And in the end, when he went to the boxing match, he ran out. He couldn't.
You
He knew
couldn't,
he'd
yeah.
get. He knew he'd get his head kicked in,
Yeah.
basically. And shit, but Lisa said to the other lads, "Don't have a go at him for it. Don't say anything because obviously she was then feeling guilty because it was her dare and getting them involved in it that had
Yeah.
led to it all." Like, and she then tried to like make him feel better by saying it was the only sensible option because let's be honest, he would have battered them, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he would have done
I
it.
would have battered them. So,
Yeah, she was sensible at times, I must
yeah.
say.
I mean, I did like that about Lisa. She always seemed to, in that group, because you know what lads are like when they're together. But in that
Yeah.
group, she was always seemed to be like the voice of reason, even more so than Matt was.
Yeah, I think he was more of the anxious one, more of the, what could possibly go wrong? And I was a bit like, well, it'll be all right. It'll be, I was trying to be placid.
And then there was a one where they had to try and get Mrs. Holmes suspended.
Oh, that was the skeleton, wasn't it?
Yeah, so like Speedy took that there on.
That was brilliant, because what I remember about that is Jonathan dressed in those clothes with those shoes on, and that just was brilliant. That was so good.
Yeah, because that's what happened. Because so Speedy got the skeleton one and hung it from the school set. Because there you go, Mrs. Holmes has been suspended. That's what that was like. But it was Alec who got caught because he went up on the roof.
Oh, yeah.
So then, Lisa, it was Lisa again. Maybe we should lay low for a while, and the double dare gang was temporarily
Temporary
disbanded.
disbanded. Yes, I remember that. I remember being a bit gutted. I was like, oh no, that's what we're gonna do
But
now.
then, like as you've just said, then they came back with. I think it's the most memorable one of Cracker dressing up as
Yeah, it's
Mrs. Holmes.
brilliant.
Coming in and the impression was brilliant as well. And Lisa involved the class. Just so Cracker take it that little bit further. But in the meantime, Mrs. Holmes had come back to school and Cracker was caught by Mrs. Holmes and by Diane as well. But I just thought he's brilliant when in that one.
He's, do you know what? Watching it back, obviously, I've watched some recently to try and jog my memory, not all of them, obviously, because I can't do 91. But
Lucky you.
I've forgotten how good he was. Like, I think because you're in it and you're with them all the time and you're living it, I forgot how good he was. And if you think I was in it a lot, he was in it all the time. He was in it constantly. And rightly so, he was really good.
So then he had to wear that costume all week. Do you
Yes,
remember that was it? That was his punishment for when he got
it, wasn't
caught.
it?
And again, we see another PE lesson. Now I have to ask you this because Lisa's wearing a Spurs shirt.
And I'm an Arsenal fan.
I was going, "Oh, right, okay." I was going to say, "Was
Yeah.
that your choice?" No.
And the weird thing is about that is because it's a bit like people probably know this about, about soaps. You have a lot of change. Like, there's always a lot of different writers, a lot of different directors. So it's sort of down to you as the actor to keep the continuity of things they may not necessarily remember. And I don't know if it's the next series. That might have been my favorite series, 21. Is 21 the one with the flower babies?
I think it is,
That might. And the flower baby's got a Spurs shirt on. Because I remember somebody asking me, is this right? And I was like, yeah, she's a Spurs fan. And everyone used to take the mic, used to be like, oh, Charlie, you've got to wear a Spurs fan, a Spurs shirt. And I was like, yes, I know. Not through choice. So yeah, I'm an Arsenal fan. So that was always a difficult, a tricky pill to swallow.
Brilliant. And then the gang were told that they couldn't do any more dares or they'd be getting kicked out of school. But Speedy said they should do one more, and Matt wasn't going to do it. And Speedy said that he would do it. And this is where you said before about the streak. There was a fire drill, and when they went out, Speedy and Matt had disappeared. And Lisa and Cracker thought, yeah, they must be doing the dare. And then we see Speedy running around completely completely naked, but Matt's taken
Hold on.
Polaroids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just remember this big hold on for you. What is that even? He
Yeah.
had to have I'm sure he had to have a stunt double. I'm sure they had to get
Right,
stunt
wow.
doubles in because obviously he would have been too young,
Yeah.
really, to sort of. I mean, obviously he would have had, he wouldn't
Yeah,
have been naked,
I was going to
really.
say, like, was he covered up? But
Yeah, he was definitely,
obviously.
he would have had shorts on under the bag for sure because they obviously they wouldn't have been able to.
Yeah.
That would have been a whole other issue for the BBC.
Yeah.
But they, I'm sure they had to, from if my memory serves me rightly, I'm sure that they had to have a stunt double and they
Right.
had to get these stunt doubles. I remember Ollie being like, "Oh, I don't know if I don't want people to think I'm
Yeah.
that," or vice versa. I was like, "Yeah, make sure you get a good one. Just have
Yeah.
it to see first." But that was great. That's one that sticks in my mind.
Yeah, and
And I didn't realize how people have remembered the double dare. It is the double dare gang. You know, even when, I was 15, 16, still doing it, people were like, "Oh yeah, you're from the Double Dare Gang." I was like,
yeah.
I thought that was like over, but that
No,
is
like
still an association.
I get people now, like, have said to me, you need to get someone from the Double Dare Gang on the podcast. It's like that's how you know it's the Double Dare Gang.
It's people still remember it. And I remember at the time, not necessarily my first year, maybe this second year or the third year, I was desperate for something else, not
Right.
from, but di for a different story, because I think that I wanted something with a bit more drama, or I wanted something a bit more, edgy. And now when I look back, I value it so much more.
Yeah.
When I think about the stuff that was going, I can't remember. This must have been, I think, yeah, I probably am saying this, that 21 was probably my favorite series. There was all that stuff going on with the knives and, and the Judy, and at the same time we're doing something hilariously funny,
Yeah. Yeah.
which was, and I think that was amazing. That's incredible to do now. But I was really jealous. I remember being really jealous of these gritty storylines that everyone was getting,
Yeah.
and I wish now, looking back, that I'd just been like, "That's amazing.
Yeah.
That what we did was just great.
Yeah. 'Cause like
What
it,
you
you
needed,
know,
it's fun."
it's fair to say that, like, by sort of 1998, not as many people were watching Grange Hill as they had done in the mid 80s, because Sky TV had come in and cable, and there was a lot more choice for people to watch.
Agreed, yeah.
And I think people that, like, haven't seen the stories of the Double Dare Gang, or, even as you just said there, at that time there was, the Sean and Alec stuff going on with the knives as well. And I think if
Yeah.
people had watched, who watched it sort of in the, the zenith in the 80s, they'd watch that and go, do you know what? That is just as good as the stuff that was happening in the
Yeah, and
80s
I
as well,
think
like.
people that watched it, actually people that were avid fans or watched it, would agree.
Yeah.
Anyone, I never had, luckily, touch wood, I never had any bad or ill feeling towards it. I always had people say, "I love Grange Hill. It's so good. I actually love it." I
Yeah.
never had anybody say to me, the odd person that might say, "Oh, I don't watch that."
Yeah.
They were, because they wouldn't have said it to you
Yeah.
otherwise. So, you get the odd one like that. But the general consensus was they really liked it. And it was, I don't want to say hard hitting, because it's not panorama, but, it was, some of it was a bit close to the edge. When I
Yeah,
look now, I think
definitely.
they'd never get away with that now.
Definitely,
Like the
yeah.
Tom and the Leah stuff, did
Yeah.
he
Yeah.
or did he not? There was so much stuff that I think is relevant to kids. And I think that, I've heard people mention it before, that, well, I think we're doing kids an injustice by protecting them so much from things that they are going to
Yeah.
see, or they are going to experience, and we're not giving them the benefit of showing them, it happens to other
Yeah.
people, you're not the only one, whatever that may be.
Yeah,
I
definitely.
remember, like, the Fiona Wade stuff, the drink thing, the Renee thing when she was bulimic and Matt thought
Yeah.
she was pregnant, all of that stuff was, it happens to people. People's mum and dad getting divorced, Gemma obviously before mine, people
Yeah.
getting robbed for their phones, Colin getting attacked, me getting attacked. There was all things that were relevant, but then there was also things that you watch and think was hilarious, like Cracker dressing up as
Yeah.
Miss Holmes, the custard pies. There has to be a balance, and I do think they did that. I'm probably biased, but I do think they did try to at least, get that over.
Yeah, no, brilliant. So we'll move on then to Series 21, which you've said is your favorite one,
It probably is my favorite, yeah.
and by this time Gemma Lyons had come on board as a member of the Double Dare Gang. She
That's great.
she'd already been there. She'd already been in the school, but she'd never really bothered with Lisa and the lads.
There was a few sort of outsiders. Yeah. I don't know if they did it to sort of level out the gender thing.
Right.
Because obviously there was Sally that played Tracy later on. Obviously Maggie that was Gemma. And there was another girl, and I'm going to be really bad, but there was a couple of other characters that were sort of there. And I think they just laid them in case they needed them, if they wanted to put another dynamic into it. And you couldn't have got much better with Maggie. It was brilliant. Yeah. That whole thing. What she added, I think, was...
And then,
was
that's
I
it,
probably was a bit put out. I'm not going to lie. I was a bit...
But because Gemma was such a different character to not just Lisa, but the lads as well, and it was great having that, you know, that extra bit of dynamic. Because she was so well-spoken and all that.
Yeah, this middle-class kid that had turned up and just suddenly decided to be friends with us, which was weird. I just loved her. I loved working with her. She was great fun. And again, when I look back now, what a brilliant little actress.
Yeah.
You know, just totally at ease with whatever she was doing. It was great. And she really did. And I honestly, you know, I was really put out at first. I was like, they're doing this. Are they trying to get rid of me? Like, I'm the girl. I'm the one. I'm the main character here. And then we were just really good friends. And it made such a, like that, that my memories of going to that school, that Radwood Hall, wherever she was, where we had to rescue her. We did like a 2-day shoot on location, and we stayed in a hotel maybe one night, two nights. Well, as you can imagine, it was carnage, absolute carnage. If you ever get to interview any chaperones, I'm sure they'll tell you what a nightmare it was. I'm not adverse to admit it. I was naughty. And when I say naughty, I didn't do what I was told. I just did whatever I wanted. But I will say this now, it's me being modest, but I was, I think, really very professional on set. Like, I knew what to do. I knew exactly what I was doing. I was always very well managed around crew. I was always learning as well. If you, you know, I was always like with Sparks, like, how does the light here? How does the light there? What's in the line? Why is this shot being taken here? I was always asking questions.
Yeah.
But I knew that was it. This is my job. Because I was on a working scholarship as well, Neil. This is probably later on. This series, actually. This is when I went to, I've got a working scholarship at Sylvia Young's. So obviously I had to work. I had to work to pay my school fees or I wasn't going to be there, which I was grateful for.
Yeah.
But I know that people have mentioned, you know, there's a tricky time when you're maybe 14, 15, if you're still there, you think, shall I leave? Am I going to get stuck here?
Yeah.
And it sounds really ungrateful, and it's not meant like that. It's just like, am I making the right decision by staying? Should I move on? Should I look at other stuff? And I didn't have that luxury. I wouldn't have moved anyway, and I'm lying to say that. And I wouldn't have left anyway. But I didn't have that luxury. I think I was the only person in that situation where if I was working to pay.
Yeah.
Everybody else was a kid and didn't have any pressure, but always in the back of my mind, if I got the sack, I could lose my place at school.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and there was people that got, although I was naughty, that's how I got away with it. Because I was so good on set, I could be naughty. But yeah, going back to that, sorry, that series, that was amazing. That green bus, I remember this green bus we pulled up in. And it was this massive, big school. And it was just amazing. It was like being on a Hollywood film set, because you have on-location catering for those 2 days.
Yeah.
In a really posh hotel. And you just go wild. There's like five of you that have spent the last 2 years intensely together, and you just have a ball. And I'm so grateful for those times, because we just literally had the best times.
Yeah.
We were very like them outside, because we were always playing pranks on people.
Yeah, I've heard that, to be honest. Yeah.
I'm surprised other people haven't said this to you, but we started with others doing it to us.
Right.
Year we started was both Laura's, Peter, Sam and Tom, and George Stark, obviously.
Yeah.
I remember them being in the green room, and the four of us, I could have only been young, because I remember having a Mickey Mouse jumper on.
Right.
I must have been 10, 11. And we walked into the green room, and they were like, pretending that they were boyfriend and girlfriend here and boyfriend and girlfriend there. And then they made out that this person was two time and this person. And me and Rob, I remember thinking, we're like, do we tell the other person? This went on for like the first week we were there, and they kept it up the whole week. And then we were like, we told someone, and it all came out. And they were like, oh, we played a trick on you. And we were like, ha, ha. I really would like my money. So we did it. I know that we did it again too. Must have been Jay. It must have been JJ, Jay, John, and all of those. We did it to them, and it probably went on. We used to do it all the time. I'm going to tell you something. Do you ever remember doing this thing where you used to hold hands with someone, and one of you used to suck the person who owned their own thumb used to suck their thumb, and the other person sucked their thumb. You used to pretend you were snogging. We used to do that all the time to like all different people, and then the young ones used to be like, but she's kissing that one when she's what's kissing that one. She's like, no, we're not. We're just sucking her thumbs. We weren't really kissing. So yeah, it carried on. It went all the way through. But that
Brilliant.
series was a great series because that location shoot, the flower baby stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, and that was the snake warden year.
Yeah,
That
yeah.
was.
So we'll talk about the flower babies because obviously that was they've been given them to look after them for a week. It was like the project to do. But there was also there'd been talk about Cracker was convinced that there was aliens in the
I
school.
remember this.
And Matt told Lisa that he'd seen an alien in Mr. McNabb's office. Bet he never saw Mr. McNabb, though, did he? Because Mr.
No.
McNabb didn't exist.
I still like when I watched it back, I was like, I don't even know who this guy was. Just
So Lisa went to have a look and never turned up for the next lesson. And Matt and Cracker used the flower babies as an excuse to get out to go and look for it in
this
Mr.
was in the French
McNabb's
class, wasn't
office.
it? This was, I remember this. And the did it I apparently there was a security guard or something in
Yes, that
the
was it. They
yeah.
saw her, but all she was doing was she was just showing a security guard around the school. And then when the Flower Babies project had ended, can you remember what everyone started doing?
Yeah, they started throwing flour and something had happened between I can't remember because obviously I wasn't directly involved in it, but something had happened with Laura Hammett, so that would have been Sarah Jane, wouldn't it? And they ended up pelting her with the flour, but I can't remember why. But we were covered. I remember that was like, see what I mean? Another, Matt, you're on a film set and you're throwing flour at you between you and your mates. This is the greatest day of your life. It's amazing.
The thing with Laura, Sarah Jane turns around and tells them all to grow up. So
Oh, that was
they
it,
all
yeah.
start throwing. And I just, you know, when you watch that, and I just think, God, you're braver than me throwing flour at Sarah Jane. Like,
She was quite like that in real life as well. I was lucky she was my friend, but I wouldn't want to get on the wrong side of
I was thinking, forget Sean and Alec. Sarah
her.
Jane's the one I wouldn't want to get on the wrong side of.
You know that.
And you mentioned the snakeboarding as well. Lisa was on Tom's snakeboard and crashed into Mr. Robson.
I love Stuart. Obviously, you know, I'm so sad about the news because he, I don't know. Well, it must be testament to how long he did it for, but how he put up with us for that amount of time, just me alone, probably, because he had to do a lot with me, bless him. You know, even like when my in my later years when I get mugged and he has to go off and, you know, try and chase the man. He must have had the patience of a saint. And he was never rude, never moaned, not to our faces anyway. I don't know if he moaned to us, anyone else, but he never passed comment. He never moaned about us. He was always incredibly patient. Imparting words of wisdom. If I had to do that job now, I'd be like, these kids are doing my head in. Because we, like, you've probably heard it, we were a little bit precocious. I mean, your kids on a major TV series living the lives of your dreams. So we were a little bit, and you get comfortable. You also get quite comfortable in that. Like I was saying to you, know, when I'm knocking on doors asking for storylines, I can't imagine that doing now. You know, I'm nearly 40 years of age and I couldn't do that. But at the time, you're so comfortable in that family, you think that you can do those things and it's all right. And so when I look back at him now, all of them, you know, Sally, Rachel, Lee, they, I don't remember any of giving being horrible to any of us in any way, ever. And I don't know, so I will give Stuart his credit. Yeah, that I remember that coming down the ramp and just knocking him straight over.
Like, could you skate?
No, so I remember
Right.
when they told me the storyline, I originally thought they said it's a skateboard. And I was like, I can't skateboard either. But I'm not very good on wheels, full stop. And they said, you've got a snake board. I was like, what's a snake board? And I remember I'd seen it in Hamleys. It was like this new craze. And they went, you've got to learn it. I was like, oh, please don't tell me I've got to learn it. But I wasn't going to give up. I was like, they've given me the storyline. I'm going to take it and I'm going to do it as best I can. We had to go to lessons. Ollie actually picked it up quite quickly, but he would do. He's one of them people that, you know,
Right, okay.
whatever he did, it sort of worked for him anyway.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, we went to lessons. Where I lived at the time, my mum, well, she still lives there now, but she backs onto a park. And I was going round and round this park. I was covered, absolutely covered, arms bruised, legs bruised. I was getting bashed left, right, and centre. But I wasn't giving up.
No.
But we had to do it. Yeah, we had to learn how to do it to make it look as real as possible. I mean, luckily for me, I did have a stunt double that was a boy with a wig on.
Yeah.
That actually was a stunt double, but that was great. That was really good fun as well. It was good to have those things to do.
Yeah. Because that after that was the Double Dare Gang wanted to join the roller hockey team.
Yeah, that again. So for me, I hadn't really had much contact with Aidan and Rochelle and them, and that was sort of, I suppose, who I was watching, because
Right.
they were still a year above us, and they might not have still. Oh, I think Aidan might have been the only one that was left because he was young. He was the younger out of his lot. So I know people have mentioned this before, but when you're under 16, you're all together, and when you're over 16,
Yeah.
you're passed as an adult. So I think Aidan was sort of the only one that was left with us in tutoring and being chaperoned. But I didn't really have much contact with him. He was quite, not introvert, but he was quite quiet. We just, obviously, he probably thought, oh, these kids are getting on my nerves. So we hadn't had much contact with them. And from that moment on, I just adored them. Him, Rochelle, Colin. Didn't really have much to do with Ben because I didn't, he wasn't
Right.
really around, if that makes sense. And he'd already sort of made a name for himself and was sort of
Yeah.
making his way already, I think. But the others, and Sian, she was great. They were just brilliant. But I was like,
Yeah.
it's been a long time and I'm actually working with them. They're like proper people.
Yeah.
So that was quite good because it was good to be with others
Yeah.
as well. I'm not sure if they would say the same, but yeah,
Yeah.
that was when the stuff got mixed, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The
Well, that starts off. What? How that all comes about was, they said, "Oh, you've got no gear. You can't." So they went and they came back with like cricket pads and American football helmets and army helmets and all
again, cracker with an army helmet on.
sorts.
I mean, where did they get this stuff from? And then don't we may try to make hockey sticks in DT or something. I remember
Yeah,
that. Like, we all had to make these hockey sticks.
yeah. So they were told they had to make a shape, and all they made, but they all made the same one, and it was just like, what is it? It's a foot, and it was just so they could use them for hockey. But as Gemma said, oh, maybe if you got sponsorship,
The brains behind the outfit
yeah.
would be fine.
So,
Why don't we actually do something here? Oh, all right, then we'll do it.
all this equipment turned up, and obviously Arnie was all made up because it had come for the team, but. Because the Double Dare Gang, a typical Grange Hill, the Double Dare Gang were like, well, it's ours, so let's have a hockey match
Yeah, and
for
I was a bit like, how can he be so mean? He was like, no, you're
it.
not playing. No. That was it. It was just flat out. No. And
Yeah.
then I think Robson asked him if we could play. He still says no. And then this stuff turns up. And he's like, no, we'll get. And yeah, I think, doesn't Tom say, well, we'll have a match for you?
Yeah.
And then someone's like, aren't we forgetting that we haven't got any gear to play this
Yeah.
match in?
But then, so the roller hockey team absolutely annihilated the Double Dare Gang. But when they went to get the equipment, they were told that they had to send it back. It shouldn't have gone to the school.
Yeah,
But
basically, we lied to get it or
it had
something.
all been nicked
Let's hope.
anyway when they went to get it. And it was someone called Gregory.
I remember this Gregory. Because he came up a few
Yeah.
times.
Yeah. So then there was a scene then where it followed where they followed them to where, because it was that lockup, that hut that you said
Yeah, and I
again.
hid in a basket. I remember that. I hid in
Yeah,
a wicker basket.
they all hid from him, and then when they got there, they dressed him up in the gear and marched him back to Mr. Robson. There you go, there you go. There's all the stolen gear.
And I remember it. I remember this because it was the first sort of cool cinematography shot, because there was a shot through the helmet and we were putting stuff through the
Yeah.
helmet and it was spinning around. And then I remember he caught us walking around him on the
Yeah.
CCTV doing something like that. That was great. All of that was good stuff. See, I told you this is a good series.
Brilliant. And there was the bit where we talked about Sean and Alec and that, but they had a thing with Matt, and they were really bullying Matt.
It was horrible. When I look at it now, I think that was awful. How they got away with it. And I mean, I was lucky. I was really close with Ian. I'd obviously gone to school with him. Him and Laura were a few years above me at school. They were probably the last year when I started. But I'd liked him. Like, I was like, you're amazing. You've been in some more faces. You're like, you're the next big thing. But I don't know. I think people were unsure of him at first because he
Right.
was. he was so good that he was already an adult. I think he spent a lot of time with adults because he was already there. But when I watch him back, I think he was evil. He was evil,
He was.
absolutely evil. Like, I would say probably the worst villains I've ever seen. He was worse than Wayne Sutcliffe as Peter's character. I think he was the worst out of all of them because I really didn't like him. I watched it and thought, I really don't like him.
He is horrible.
Horrible.
But
And
what?
poor Rob, he really was. I know it was a lot for him to do at the time. I remember thinking, this is a lot. Like, he was working a lot, a lot, a lot.
But
But he does it so brilliantly.
what I like about that storyline is it shows you that it doesn't matter how tight you are with your mates. If someone's bullying you to the point where you're terrified, you do get isolated, you do get scared, and it's
And that's what
really,
they prey on, isn't it? The hope that you will not tell them. Because
really
I
good
do.
that he didn't tell his mates who he
No.
was so close to.
Because something would have happened. He would have, for example, maybe not me or maybe not Cracker, but I know that if he'd have said something to Tom, he would have said something. You know, it goes back to the boxing thing. He was the sort of character who would have broached it, which could have ended up making it worse. I mean,
Definitely.
this is the bit when he's holding on. Am I right in thinking he gets given some sort of drugs or something, and that's
He had to plant
the
drugs
main
on
thing?
Wayne.
It's all through this series when all this other stuff is still going on. And it was, you're so right, again, showing that if you are bullied, it doesn't matter how close you are with friends, you don't always tell someone. I mean, eventually he tells Gemma, doesn't he? I think. Doesn't that
It
come
was
out
it's
somewhere?
Gemma, and then it all came out. It was it
Yeah.
Laura, the Judy Jeffries actually caught him, like got him, found him on
Because
the
she sees him on video or something,
TV.
doesn't she? Yeah, I vaguely remember that.
And I also want to talk to you about the mice race as well.
Do you know I got bitten by one of those mice and I had to go and have a tetanus?
Brilliant. Because I was going to ask you, were they actually there when they had the
They're
race?
all
But
real.
clearly they
They're
were.
all. Now, can you imagine? There's like 15, like 12, 13-year-old kids with all these mice in that tiny room. Because, like when you shoot things in a studio, obviously you can remove walls, can't you? And you can get to certain angles or whatever. But this was an actual closed off room, so the camera had to come in around all these kids, around all these. Now, I'm not particularly good with rodents. I don't know, like, my worst nightmare would be to go on I'm a Celeb and be near rats, or to find a rat in any situation. I don't like them. Mice I can sort of tolerate, but I remember holding this mouse and it bit me, drew blood. It's like, where did they get these? And it was like, oh my god, Charlie needs to get a tetanus, we need to get her to the doctor's. I was like, oh.
Brilliant.
But we had, it was that, see, again, that's that series. That was towards the end of the series, wasn't it? I remember
It
that.
was,
I'm sure Robson pulls us at the end of that and says, you need, you're near, your
That's
time with
it,
Rachel is nearly
It was,
up.
it's funny because when Robson and the teachers all turn up, when it is,
Oh, I remember
everyone gets out except the Double Dare Gang.
I remember them walking and I remember leaving at the back, Mr. Hankin, like, oh, running along. And yeah, everyone gets away. That's true.
It's just the Double Dare Gang get nicked on that one. And we'll move on then to series 22, when you were only in 9 episodes in this one because you made up for it in all the other series.
I think this was must have been the series. How old would I have been?
So it was 90, it went on air in 99.
So
So,
that must. So the reason behind that was the boys were doing their GCSEs. I think that must have been that year.
okay. And the big
Oh,
story.
I know. Oh, this is the season that Amy Winehouse is in.
All right, okay. Didn't know
So,
that one.
when you watch it back now, do you remember there's, I remember this thinking, this is so awful. Is this the date? This isn't the dating one, is it, when we pretend to date each other?
No, this is the year after the dating one.
Oh, is that the year before that?
This is the year before the dating one, yeah.
Oh, maybe not then. I can't remember what year
But
this is. What happens in the 9 episodes that I'm in?
this is the one where Gemma does actually get sent to the boarding school because it's when her mum and dad are splitting up.
Oh, so the all right, so this is oh,
So
okay, so
this is
this
the
is
one where Gemma gets sent. Well, no, at first it's just about her mum and dad are splitting up, and her dad's going to move away, and she didn't want to live with her mum.
and
So
she
it,
nicks the passport at one point,
yeah,
doesn't
so
she?
she
I
does,
remember
yeah.
that, yeah.
So the dad suggested she went to a boarding school, and and the Double Dare Gang hold a protest on the playground.
So we have like 197 reasons to stay at Rachel. I
There you
remember
go.
that. A bit bored.
But as you said, she nicked the passport from her dad to stop her going, and the dad basically then decides that she's going to boarding school no matter what now. And Matt got a postcard from her saying help.
Oh, with the stamp, there was something, there was like a bad
A
stamp if you're
bat.
having a bad time in it, and a Owl Stamp, if you're having a good
So
time, is that
that,
right?
yeah, yes, so that was it, yeah. So then that was when they went to rescue her from the boarding school. And they're in the middle of nowhere looking for her. They're in the woods, and a bloke comes along and tells them where the school is, but says, "I'd stay away if I were you. There are things going on in that place about which I cannot speak." So they're all like,
"Man with a
oh,
bush
yeah."
neck."
But they eventually got there and made their way inside to the tune of Mission Impossible. And
Oh,
then,
when we're dodging in and out of trees.
And they do find Gemma, and they take her for a picnic. And then Gemma tells them that the fella they've seen in the woods was the old school porter who'd been sacked for
Drinking
being,
on the job or
yeah, for
something.
drinking on the job. Your memory's
Gratitude.
tremendous, by the way. But she was saying, like, you know, that was her life now. She was going to stay there. That was where she lived. But can I ask you, why did Maggie Mason leave?
I think that it was a lot to do with her education. I don't think her mum and dad wanted her to do it for very long. And
Right.
I think they weren't 100% sure that that's what she wanted to do. They
Right.
wanted her to have the option of other things. And I think so did she, if I'm honest with you. You know, she wasn't like I was. I was like, 100%, I'm going to be an actress for the rest of my life. This is it. This is me. I don't, you know, this is, I'd made my decision at that point. I don't think she was really sure. I don't think her mum and dad were really sure.
So,
And I think that was the main reasoning behind it. To be honest, I don't think we really knew.
Right, okay.
We weren't always, you know, privy to that information. I think sometimes you were just told that was it and that was it.
Right, okay. So then when Gemma left, that was when Lisa started spending time with Tracy.
Yeah.
Played by Sally Morton. And because she was another one who'd sort of been around, but had never really bothered with the Double Dare Gang. And it was Tracy's birthday. And Lisa decided that they'd go and she'd get tickets to go and see Ultramatic.
I vaguely remember this. Now, what I think this might have been a night shoot. Was this at night?
Yeah,
I'm sure this
so
was like my first night shoot. And I had this massive hair and I was like, I'm so cool.
Yeah, they couldn't get tickets to the concert. But Lisa found out what hotel he was staying in because Tracy's favourite member of the band. Can you remember what his name was? Because his name, in this day and age, it's unbelievable what this fella's called.
No, I can't.
So he's called Andrew Tate.
No, he's not.
Well, they refer to him as Andy Tate, but the character's name is Andy Tate. Yeah.
How
And I just
weird.
Think that is like, wow.
How weird.
So yeah, so they end
I remember
up...
when I read the script, I was hoping that it would actually be someone famous.
Right.
So I was like, please let it be a heartthrob somewhere from somewhere. Please let it be Robbie Williams.
Yeah. No, the thing about that story is it's all, you know, it's all fun and games, and the girls meet in the cafe beforehand. They go and the lads that were in the cafe as well, because the lads decided we need to keep an eye on them because this is stupid what they're doing. And I thought it's really good what the lads do, because the girls are somewhat going to this hotel to meet these fellas. And when Lisa and Tracy are in the cafe, Cracker says, "God, look at them. They look like women." And Tom said, "They are women." But because they're all dolled up and all that. And the girls get there and then the lads follow them to the hotel. And the lads said, "Oh, come on, we'll get you something to eat." But Tracy didn't want to leave the hotel. She didn't want to miss seeing Andy Tate. So Tracy and Matt stay at the hotel while the others went the chippy, and they come back with the chips, and they all eat the chips and all that. But Tracy goes to the toilet, and then the concierge comes and goes, "You know, you shouldn't be here now. You need to leave." And so when Tracy comes out, another fella comes over and says, "Oh, your friends have left." And the whole atmosphere of the episode changes. The whole atmosphere of that storyline, because this fella's then trying to, like, says to her, "Oh yeah, let me get you a drink. You know, why didn't you come up to my room and all that?"
Yeah.
And the others had left and got in a taxi, and they just think, "Oh, what are you doing?"
Just
like,
just but, left her. That's artistic license. It's fine, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you don't do this, there won't be a story.
So in the end, they go back to the hotel. They go back to, because they're saying, "Well, this isn't right, what we've done." So they go back, and Matt actually met Andy Tate, who got a load of presents for Tracy, and all was good. in the end, like
Always good in the end.
Matt to the rescue. But Lisa didn't like that friendship straight away of Matt and Tracy because there's always been that sort of underlying thing with Gemma and
Yeah,
Matt
agreed.
as well.
Yeah, I think she was a bit put out by that as
Yeah,
well.
and Matt, but Matt did eventually speak to Lisa and told that he'd spoken to Gemma about Tracy. And then Lisa realised that, you know, she'd been angry with him for
Yeah.
nothing.
And he
So
gets
then,
the Dear John letter in the end anyway, doesn't he?
yeah.
That gets mentioned somewhere.
And then we moved on then to Series 23, where they're all in year 10 and this bananas dating thing.
I remember this timetable thing, but I remember there was a timetable and we had to say, we'd come up with this idea. Well, I was apparently dating Cracker.
Yeah.
Tracy was apparently dating Tom and Matt was on his own. And we'd come up with this strange sort of timetable. And I remember reading the script for that and thinking, I'm never going to remember those lines. So I hope no one ever quotes me on this, that this was the wrong or what. Because I remember thinking, I'm never going to remember this. This is complicated. And I was like, oh, this is a rubbish storyline. I do not
It's
like
just,
this.
it was just, it's just bananas. No, like the first time I saw that, I thought, I don't understand that. And I haven't gone through your character as well in the last week and go, you thought, what on earth?
It was
And
random. It
it
was
was
totally
because
random. I remember at the time thinking, they must sort of been able to think of anything for us by the time they
it
wrote
was
it.
like,
I remember thinking, this is so weird.
because Matt didn't have a girlfriend, that it was something to do with that. But you just think, just let them have their own. It's tough, isn't it? He hasn't got a girl. Like, what's the point? But
It was weird. I look it back now and think, what on earth was we doing? But that's when I say to you, there was a bit in the cafe where I tried to set him up with my cousins
yeah,
or something, and that's Amy Winehouse that comes through the door.
all right. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, the goth. Of
Yeah.
course. Oh my God.
Yeah. I don't know. I again because I was at school with her. She was a year above me at school. Obviously, I knew her anyway, and
Yeah,
then.
blimey, there we go. Well, then he set it up with another girl, set Matt up with another girl. But that
Oh yeah,
was,
that doesn't work out either, does it?
she wasn't a goth, but it was a complete disaster. He banged
Yeah.
Edward and spilled a drink on her, and so that was when the timetable came in, and you just
Yeah.
know it's a nonsense. But more alien stuff. They did about a UFO being
Was this
seen.
about the like? Was this around the Ofsted thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I vaguely remember this.
So the UFO had apparently been spotted over Essex, so they decided to wind up Mr. Robson by creating an alien, the alien
Oh,
in
I
the
do
alleyway,
remember this. Yeah.
and they scared them. But and they made the news, but one report said it was Springfield Jack, so they decided to bring Springfield Jack back as an alien, and Lisa got all the screensavers in the school to change
I did,
to
yeah.
change to an alien as well. Now, during the Ofsted inspection in the science lesson, they had like one of them, you know, them Van de Graaff electric generators.
Oh, the hair thing.
Yeah,
Yeah, I
so
do
Lisa
remember
got the
it.
Ofsted inspector to be the dummy. And can you remember what happened there? I guess you can't because you remembered everything else.
No, this is a series that I don't remember. I don't know
Right.
why, but this is the one where I think, what even happened in this bit?
So basically, he put his hand on the generator, and as it turned out, his wig blew off. That's what happened. So, yeah, so then the next UFO prank came up, and it was Lisa, Matt, and Tom. They made the UFO, and then they hung it from the top of the
Oh,
school,
I
and they
remember,
were
yeah.
filming it. But they got caught by the Ofsted inspector, Mr. Forbes. And when they got called into Mr. Robson's office, he gave them a
Again.
lecture, a big lecture on, you know, everything they'd done wrong, all the rules they'd broken. But then, how Mr. Forbes had been so impressed with their ingenuity and special effects and all that. And
Get away with it. We got away with it
yeah,
every time.
and they should think about doing special effects as a career.
As a career, I remember that bit.
And they'd have a week to think about it in detention. And then Matt ignored Lisa and Tracy because he hadn't turned up to his date with Tracy when he should have done, and he told them to leave it out and all that. And Lisa thought it was weird that Matt didn't want a girlfriend.
Yeah, I remember that.
But in the end,
He's getting that.
They all decided that it was nonsense what they were doing anyway.
Yeah, I agree.
And they couldn't wait to tell Matt. But Matt, in the meantime, had sorted his own girlfriend out.
Why?
Anyway, like...
Did he have a girl? I can't... Did he have a girl?
Yeah, he brought this girl, turned up anyway, and that's what it was. That's why he wasn't going to some of the dates because he was going out with this other girl.
I vaguely remember that.
So there was also the cardboard box collecting, which was the homelessness awareness campaign. And they thought that if the school thought if they collected loads of cardboard, then they could be converted into money for the homeless charity. So they all started, the year group that collected the most and raised the most money would get a trip to a theme park. So there was all sorts of like subterfuge going on and people nicking each other's cardboard boxes. It almost turned into a full-blown food fight.
That was a good story, actually. That I liked that. That was good.
Yeah. Oh, a full-blown food fight in the canteen, but Mr. Hankins stepped in. How Mr. Hankins suddenly was the voice of authority and all of that.
And that anyone ever listened to.
Yeah, I don't know. So Lisa suggested that they all need to talk it over, and they went to the cafe to do it. He went to the Arches. But the same thing almost happened again with another food fight. And then, until Ray stepped in this time, an absolute legend of Grange Hill, by the way, Kelly George. And it was him that said, you know, why are you collecting the boxes in the first place? You know, you need to start thinking of that rather than the reasons.
Rather than the theme park.
Yeah. So then they had a big bonfire instead, and the Double Dare Gang had decided to retire. But Mr. Hankin asked them to do one final day. Can you remember what that was at the bonfire?
No, I can't. Not
so it was aliens again. And it was apparently the Double Dare Gang were dressed as aliens.
Oh, yes.
Was it you lot, though?
Some of it was and some of it wasn't. A bit of it was.
Did like a presentation about Ofsted. But also, Linford Christie was in that episode. As well.
He was. Because also, I remember us saying, Cracker's Mouse was called Linford in our heads. We were like, yes, he was.
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, I was sure he was super famous then as well. We were like,
so that moves again on to the next one, series 24, which Matt and Cracker were hardly in this one. But
that must have been the year they're doing their exam. That must have been the year they did their exam.
But this is where we met Ozzy. Like a new horrible character. But we also met Lisa's family.
So this is the year Shona starts then?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. And that, you know, when you get given, because a lot of your scenes were not in the school.
Yeah. Like, a lot of the series would have been.
A lot of them were in the house. So obviously,
you know how amazing that was. I honestly was like, this is amazing. This is my show. I've got a whole family. You know, I've got sister. Everything's about me. Shock.
Brilliant. But the mum and dad were always arguing, and eventually the mum moved out. Lisa was obviously blaming the dad because, you know, it's, you know, I imagine for any kids to be going through that, they want someone to blame.
Yeah, I think it's only natural. And it's also natural to not know, because obviously she changes her mind, doesn't she, Lisa, later on? Obviously she knows what happens. But I think it's just natural for you to not, to need someone to blame and also to not be sure of what's going on.
Yeah, definitely.
So I was lucky. I had a great on-screen family. Like, you know, Claire Skinner was my mum. Like, you know, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So I was very lucky.
Yeah, brilliant. And as you say, with Lisa blaming her dad, she called him pathetic for not even trying to get the mum back. And
that poor man, he really did get the...
I mean...
And I think I'd come into a bit of my own then as well. Obviously, I was about 15 then. I think I was probably dealing with a lot of teenage angst myself. Right. So, you know, I think that's pretty clear to see that I had some way of venting it somehow.
This was like the first time you were given like sort of your own storyline as well, because up until then it had always been Lisa and the Double Dare Gang, or Lisa and Tracy, or Lisa.
Yeah,
you know,
it was between us all. There wasn't like a, you know, I think Matt had a couple of storylines on his own by this point.
Yeah, so but it must have been great for you to then suddenly.
Yeah, it was. That's what I was saying to you. It's amazing. I had a family, I had a mum and dad, I had a house, had a whole studio house set up. And I was lucky, like, all of those actors that I worked with were amazing. Again, I still don't know now how the adults put up with us.
Yeah.
But I learned so much from that one series.
Yeah.
About myself, not just, you know, about everyone, really. That, and I had a massive storyline. This was huge because I knew that it wasn't just for this bit. I knew that it was going to carry on. The minute you're given a sibling at the school, you know you're set. You know there's always going to be,
Yeah.
you know that you're always going to be working. So I
Yeah.
knew, I was like, this is it. This is my time to show them really what I can do. And
Yeah.
I really felt that. I know that I really felt that at the time, and it was massive for me. I was really thankful.
Yeah. People have said as well, like when they get like a family in Grangeville, it really helps as well to like flesh out the character a bit more as well, because they're not just a school kid all of a sudden,
Yeah,
you know, they're a
and
family member as well.
you're not one dimensional. You don't
Yeah.
just know this person at school, because you know we all know that people can be different in different places. You know, you're a different person at work to who you are at home, and it just gives you a bit of background to who this person really is, you
Yeah.
know, and the stuff that they're going through, or how they've been behaving, or what leads them to where they are now. And I was very grateful for that.
Yeah,
Very.
because Lisa sort of became like the mother figure of the house, because obviously the dad was going through a lot, and the you know, then the dad told Lisa about the mum had been having an affair with this fella and she'd moved in with him, and then the mum came round and they'd been led to believe that
They were
she
going to
was
get
coming
back
back
together.
for good, but they just started arguing again. And it was when Shona ran out and a bloke ran after her. The bloke caught her was the mum's boyfriend. And that's when Lisa then realised that everything the dad had told her was true.
Yeah,
Like
you see a change in her, quite obvious, and
yeah.
probably quite rightly so. But he, at the beginning, she's like, you're useless. I know that there's that one scene in particular where I iron his shirt, or he's meant to phone the gas and we've got no hot water or something, and he doesn't phone them. He's not doing anything. And I think she's angry that he's not doing. Obviously, she blames him, but then she's even more angry that I think she thinks that he should be doing more to get her back in her head. She's like, well, you need to get this sorted. You need to do these things. You know, it's not my responsibility. Although Lisa does take it on, and she looks after Shona, and Shona's quite naughty when she first starts. You know, she's
Yeah.
coming to Maddie. And I think Lisa knows this. She's like, you know, you need to, this is not helpful. You know, dad's going to get, you know, in trouble with mom because you're being naughty. And that's going to then put more pressure on him. But until that point where, you know, she comes round, the mom, and she's like, you know, I think there's probably a lot of kids out there that were watching it thinking, I always thought my mom and dad were going to get back together. I always thought
Yeah.
that was what was going to happen. You know, it's inevitable. And then
Yeah.
there's somebody else. Well, then that's it. You know, it's done, isn't it? You know, when someone's, and then she, I think, does she have a baby? Am I right in
So
thinking
what
she
happened was,
does?
so Shona had German measles, right? So Shona
Oh, and
wasn't
she
well because she
can't
had
go
to,
round
so
or something, can she? She
the mum
can't see
came
her.
round but wouldn't go and see Shona, and she
Yeah.
just wouldn't. And then it was later on you find out that the mum is pregnant.
Yeah, see, and that's when I think as well, there's little things in there that you know that are sort of knitted in for
Yeah.
parents to see. So you because as kids, I would never have watched that and thought, why is she not seeing her? She's not well.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have known, would you, at 15?
No.
So I always thought, think that there was like themes knitted in for parents that were
Yeah.
watching it, or parents that were catching a glimpse of it. A bit like how it's not the same, but you know, like in The Simpsons, where there's jokes that adults get, but you
Yeah.
know, the kids
Yeah.
don't, but you can all watch it together. I always thought that there was something knitted in for adults,
Well,
always.
funnily enough, it's funny you should say that, because Lisa had a bit of a get together. Max and Ben went round to Lisa's house because they thought it would be a big party, but Lisa was like, oh no, we're just having a bit of a get together. We're just going to watch a video. And she says to Ben, here's a vid, you know, you can pick which video we're going to watch. And so the video that he picks, he says, I've wanted to see Encounter Jane by the back door for ages. And Michael said, like he said there was always little things like that, as you've just said there, little things like that getting thrown in. But yeah,
No,
Encounter.
that I didn't know. I don't, isn't it? Even then, I probably didn't
Yeah.
even know that. How
And
did he get away with that?
but you know what else I've noticed while I've been researching your episode? There was a scene you mentioned, Ben Freeman and Sian before. In the scene where they break up and Laurie goes round to Chris's house and kicks off, and she wrecks his room and writes graffiti all over the place. The word dickhead is written on the
See,
wall.
that episode as well, they all call her a slag. I mean,
Yeah.
could you say that now? I don't know if that's a swear word or not. I don't really know the inter but I
Yeah.
mean, they wouldn't say it on telly now at
No.
5 o'clock, would they?
But yeah.
Thinking,
Dickhead is written on the, and you
that's
see
brilliant. But
it.
I need to find that bit as well. So he says, I wanted to see that. I
Yeah.
see, this is what I mean. There's always things knitted in you don't realize. It's only now, probably as an
Encounter
adult.
Jane by the back door, yeah. But it turned out it was a horror film, and as they're watching it, someone starts knocking on the back door and they get all like scared and that. But it turned out it was just Shannon who came in and said that she'd been dumped by Danny Hartson.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a storyline in itself. But Lisa then gave Shannon some brandy and they all start drinking it then. And that's when Lisa gets drunk.
I remember this. Now you're talking about it. Because I, funnily enough, I did a commercial a few years after. Well, I might have been, was I still in it? I did a commercial for a Scottish, it's called Hebe's Anti-Drinking Campaign. If you Google it, you'll see it. And I had to wear a Steadicam, and it was about this girl who fancies this boy. She's walking down. She sees this boy and he says, oh, do you see the state of her last night? And then she suddenly reminisces about all the stuff that's happened, you know, getting drunk, being sick. But that happens. And I remember doing that and thinking, this happens to kids. They do this.
Definitely, definitely. And, you know, Lisa, as I say, she gets drunk and she shouts at her dad and stuff and saying, you know, it's no wonder mum had run off with someone else and that
it's
she
vicious,
hated them.
That bit. When I watch it back, I'm vicious.
Yeah.
Very deep cutting.
Definitely. So obviously Lisa had a hangover the next day and Stacey was there helping her out and told her what she'd done the night before.
And we all have those friends, don't we?
Yeah, don't we just. but after that, she then decides that she's going to have another party. And Stacey said it was a stupid idea because of what had happened last time and that she wouldn't help her tidy up this time. And Lisa then told her to not come at all. And it starts getting a little bit fractious between the two of them. And then at the party was the one where you mentioned about Leah and Tom earlier on before. And that then led to a storyline about whether it had been rape or not.
Yeah.
Which, as you've said already, for a kids' TV programme to be addressing that
and it wasn't
unbelievable.
I always think it was alluded to, but wasn't quite. I don't know how. I think there was obviously something there, a veil on it of how far they could go. So they never actually said anything. They just alluded to the fact, which I thought was better.
Well, Leah starts going to she does go to rape counselling, and in the end, the word is said, but nothing ever happens with police or whatever. I think because they both sort of realised that they hadn't asked and they hadn't said no. I think it was that sort of
it
thing.
It was more like a consent thing, wasn't it?
Yeah. And then, you know, Lisa and Tracy had been at each other a bit, and Tracy said she was going to enter the talent competition. So Lisa said that her and the lads should enter.
Oh, no.
As
I know
well.
You
and I'll come back onto that bit in a minute because I just wanted to.
Is this the fight? You're going to ask me about the fight?
Yeah. So basically, Shannon had accused Tom of raping Leah. And when she said it, Lisa, Matt, and Cracker were here. And Lisa didn't believe it because of all the other lies she told about Shannon and Danny Artson. But Tracy couldn't see why Shannon would have made this one up when it didn't affect her. And Lisa and Tracy start arguing, and Lisa told Tracy that no one liked her and that she was a stuck-up cow. And that was when they started fighting. Was there much choreography involved?
Yeah, it has to be properly choreographed.
Right.
It has to be. But it's great to do. It's really good fun. You really like it. Well, I did. It's intense and it's really, you know, full on. And it's another skill. That's the benefit of working on a long thing, is you learn so many different skills. You get the opportunity, you know, to kiss someone, to fight with someone, to be sad, to be happy. You know, you get this emotional range. It's like a training scheme, really, when you think about it. And you get all these opportunities to do all these different things in one place and in the comfort of people you know. And it was amazing. It's great. And I love watching that back as well.
Yeah. That first slap looks really real as well.
I don't know how it looks so real, but it does. It's shot brilliantly.
Yeah. I watched it the other day and I was like, no.
The problem is when you do those things as well, it's difficult not to preempt it. So it's really difficult to sort of state. So you more or less are like, if you're the person on the receiving end, you are a bit like, do you know what? Just do it. If you can't get it, just do it. So I think she did actually hit me, not hard, but you know, there is some contact on it. That's probably why it looks so real.
Okay, so I've just mentioned the talent show. So Stacey was going to enter it. Lisa said that her and the lads should enter it as well. And she sang Crazy by Britney Spears with Cracker, Tom, and Matt as her backing dancers. Now, I say the word dancers very, very loosely
We
because
rehearsed that for ages as well. And I kid you not, right? I know people have said this before, even when I've listened to Piers. I thought this is it. I thought that's it. I'm just going to be famous. I'm going to be the British next. I'm going to be the British next Piers. That's me. She's got my life. This is what I want. I can do this. Now I'm like, oh my God, please tell me you. It's just so cringe when I think about it. Now I'm like, turn it off. Make it stop.
The lads dancing seem to involve a lot of folding their arms and walking backwards and
Yeah,
forwards.
step together, step together, step together, step together.
I'll be honest, they don't tend to show a lot of the lads dancing, and I don't know if there was any reason for that, but they don't
Probably
tend
because it was
to.
awful. I don't know how I managed to get that in there because I know they wanted me to sing a song that I didn't want to sing. I think it might have been a Carole King song, and I was like, I'm not singing that. It's really old. Get me a Britney song. They did.
Brilliant. And they did get through to the next round, the final, along with Stacey, who was playing their guitar.
She was really good. That was all her.
I was going to
All
say,
her.
like, was she actually
Yeah.
playing that?
Yeah,
Yeah,
that was all
brilliant.
her. She was really good.
Brilliant. And then going back to the Tom and Leah thing, Lisa actually had spoke to Tom in the end about it. And that was when he sort of said, he said, well, she never said yeah, but she never said no.
No, yeah.
And Lisa was like, well, that's not a reason why, you know what I mean? And
Yeah.
then Lisa also spoke to her dad about everything that was going on and about how she couldn't cope looking after him and
And
Shona.
Shona, yeah.
Because Shona, as you said earlier, Shona was getting into trouble all the
Yeah.
time. But and it was like Mrs. Holmes was speaking to Lisa about it. And it was like, all right, yeah, so dad's going through all sorts of trouble, but you should really be talking to the dad. And then the mum and Dave, the boyfriend, came round and talked to them about maybe going to live with them after the
Yeah.
baby had been born. And Lisa kicked off again, saying that she wasn't going to dump her dad like the mum
Yeah,
dumped it.
which she deserved, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
Rightly so.
And the dad was quite calm in that situation. And Lisa actually says to the dad, you know, I'm quite proud of the way you've handled yourself tonight. But then the dad broke down. Because obviously, he'd realized everything that had gone on and what he'd been doing to not only, you know, for Shona and Lisa as well. And then after that, Tracy then tried to talk to Lisa, but Lisa was crying. And Lisa told Tracy everything that had been going on as well. And the one thing she says was, I've made my best friend hate me. And Tracy was like, well, no, you haven't. You know, I'm not good. I don't hate you. And they
Yeah.
performed then. They performed in the talent
Yeah.
competition final, believe. By share,
You believe that?
but
I
like a proper slowed down X Factor version of
Yeah.
Believe, you made the song your own.
Was
That's
it any
what
good? I can't remember.
it's, you know what, it's not bad, I'll be honest. It's not
That's
bad.
very kind of you.
And then we move on then to your last year at Grange Hill, year 12. Tracy had left, gone to a music college or whatever she
Yeah.
decided to do, and you were still living with the dad, Shona. Wanted to go and live with mum, but Lisa
Yeah.
didn't want to leave the dad. And then Lisa's on her phone and got mugged and gets thrown into the side of a van. Was that actually you again getting
Yeah, that's
thrown into
actually
the
me.
van?
That's actually me, yeah.
So a bit of stunt work as well. Put
Yeah,
that on
that
your
was good. I like that.
CV.
So that was the year I was, that must have been the year I was having my exams, yeah, because she would have been a year older than me. So
Right.
that was the year that they had to take me out, obviously, a big bit in the middle, is why that's happened on
So I think
exams.
what they did was, you were in loads of episodes, but only for like 2 minutes,
Yeah.
if that. It'd be in little scenes, like.
Yeah.
And obviously, Mr. Robson chased after the mugger, but fell and was really badly injured. Lisa broke her arm after that, and then that was when the dad decided that they should go and live with the mum. Shona did, but Lisa stayed with the dad.
Yeah.
And we see a thing where Cracker calls for Lisa, and there was a couple of scenes where the lads go around to try and get Lisa, but
Like with the Love Actually boards.
but there's no answer. And we see that Lisa is like having some kind of like PTSD.
Yeah, she's
Like,
got agoraphobia, basically.
yeah. Now, whenever I'm putting an episode of the podcast out, I do like a guess the guest competition online, and I put picture clues online and people have to guess who it is. And the
Okay.
first person that guesses correctly gets to ask a question to the next guest. So
Oh, that's exciting.
I've got a question here. It's come from Ryan Schooler. And I always sound like I'm on going live or something whenever I do this. Obviously, Lisa's dealing with all that. But did you have to do much like research or preparation or anything like that for when it came to dealing with that situation?
I think with that, I did, and the
Right.
BBC, you put me in touch with a lot of people at the
Right.
time. Like, you know, I got to see a therapist about, you know, kids
Yeah.
that obviously this has happened to. So there was a little bit of that, but a lot of it is sort of, I suppose, sounds a bit, I can't say the word, but sounds a bit methody. But you know, you just
Right.
sort of feel it.
Yeah.
Sounds silly, but you get a little bit of flesh for it. You definitely, and they do give you that. They definitely gave me, you know, the opportunity to speak to people that, because you can't speak to kids directly. That's the other thing. Because you're a
Yeah.
kid, you can't speak to kids that have been through it. So that they put me in touch with, you know, health professionals that dealt with children like that. And I asked a lot of questions. So I did get that. So there was a little bit of flesh to it, yeah.
Right. Okay. And when this happened, like the dad like stepped up a bit here and he went to the school to ask the school for help, but he also spoke to the lads and asked the lads if they'd come and help as well. And
Yeah.
Tom and Matt went to see her because Cracker had left. At this point, he'd gone to work in the club,
What a disaster that was.
and they basically told Lisa that they needed her back in school because it wasn't the same without her. And so they said they'd go to the shop with her, and she went outside but couldn't do it.
Can't
Went back
go.
in. So then she had another visitor. Ray turned up.
Kelly, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, because he was in a
In the
wheelchair by
wheelchair.
now because he had that the attack at the cafe.
Yeah.
And it was basically him got Lisa out and about, saying she needed to go to the police station. She needed to get her life back. When they were going to the police station, Lisa thought that she'd seen the mugger, but it just turned out to be just a girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then Ray convinced Lisa to go to the club with him, and she did. Good old Ray. But what was weird about that nightclub was that it was open all the time.
Yeah, it was in the day and night.
Yeah, and obviously Lisa ended up going back to school, but she was worried about a relationship that Tom was apparently having with an older woman. And basically, it turned out that Tom had got a job as a model.
Oh yeah, no, I do remember this
And
because I
she.
remember him. I remember going in it, going to a shoot with him or
Yeah,
something. Yeah, he was posing the
yeah.
way through it.
And he became a bit of a celebrity after that in the school. There was people like wanting his autograph and stuff, and Lisa thought it was hilarious. But then we kind of find out why Lisa's thinking it's hilarious is because Lisa had a bit of a chat with Tom about how, they never seem to be together anymore. And
Oh yeah, this is right near the end, isn't it?
yeah, so Tom then arranged for him. He said, "Why don't we go out this afternoon?" He said, "It's a date." And Lisa goes, "Yes, it's a date." So again, he went to the day, afternoon, nightclub, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, that weird place.
But yeah, but Lisa got all dressed up for it, like it was going to be a
Oh, and
proper
he,
date. And he's just there with Matt, and he says to her, "You'll always be one of the lads."
yeah.
And
And then when
Lisa,
I leave, doesn't he say that? Oh, she looks really pretty or
yeah,
something.
Lisa then says that she had to go because she had a date. And he said, "Oh, doesn't she look good?" But Cracker said to Lisa on the way out, "I thought you had a date." And she goes, "Yeah, so did I." But I think it was kind of like, at that point, it was kind of like indicative of the fact that, it was showing that kids do grow up and they do move on. I
Yeah,
won't
it
like,
was. And also, it was about them learning that about each other, that,
yeah.
you know, that you grow up and you change. And I think suddenly they're like, oh my God, she really is a girl.
Yeah. But then the final episode of that series was Mr. Robson and Miss Carver's wedding.
Oh yeah.
Which for some reason took place in the school.
In the school, because that's obviously
Because
where you'd want to have
spend
it.
all your time there with all them kids. Why would you want to be your wedding? But anyway, Lisa and
And you
Tom,
invite all the children from the school.
Lisa and Tom eventually get together, but then they saw a fire had started and they saw the fire and then there was an explosion. Now, were you expecting that to be the last ever episode of
I
Grange?
think there had been rumors floating around. We'd had a change of producer. Things weren't how she wanted them to be, or how she didn't
Right.
envision CBBC programs to be
Yeah.
viewed. And I think it goes back to what you're saying, like sort of from 1998, probably viewings started to go down because kids had options of other things to watch. So there was rumors going around, and I knew that it was my last year anyway, because I couldn't have stayed on any longer. That was
Right.
my, you know, that I did my full stint. That was it. So I knew that it was the end for me anyway. But I wasn't expecting it to explode. I wasn't expecting to die. However, I did quite like that. Although it wasn't, of, you know, it wasn't like said from then. The only other thing that weirded me out is when they took it to Liv Ward when Phil took it back, and they
Yeah.
never mentioned it. It was like,
Yeah,
where did all
obviously.
these people just died, and then that no one's ever said anything? I'd have thought there'd have been a big memorial, you know, all
Yeah.
these kids have died. Nope,
Definitely.
nothing ever happened. They just spilled the story and forget all about them. Artistic license, I suppose. But no,
Yeah.
I knew that there was rumors going around. I knew that it could possibly be the end. But for me, it was kind of irrelevant because I knew that my time had come to an end anyway, which was a hard pill for me to swallow. I really struggled with it at the time.
Right.
I was devastated, absolutely devastated. Every year when we used to rap, I used to cry my eyes out. I just was,
Right.
it was just, it meant so much to me. And
Yeah.
I have such fond memories, and I learned so much, and it changed my life. It changes everybody's life. It is, and it's experience, and it's ex an experience that I can only relate it to. Is being part of a family. The only people that experience that same feeling is people that have been there and that have,
Yeah.
you know, obviously had a, but there might be people that have had negative from it, but mine is all positive. And anyone that's had that will know that it's
Yeah.
just incredible. It's an
Yeah.
incredible experience.
We don't really find out what happened to Lisa, but you assume that she died in the
I
explosion.
assume, yeah. I mean, we were
Right.
pretty close to the bang, so.
Yeah.
I think that me and Tom were definitely brown bread.
Right. Okay. All right. Okay. So then, so after Granger, you obviously you carried on acting for a while, and you did things like The Bill and Doctors and
Yeah, I did it all. The Bill, Doctors, EastEnders,
yeah.
everything that you see people doing, I've done it.
That well-travelled path from Grangehill to
Yeah.
Albert Square, like you
I mean,
did
the
that.
Albert Square episode, I was a dead. When I went in for the casting, I was like, they're not going to cast me. They're not going to take me. It's
Right.
like, really, really messed that up. I'm never going to get that. And then they phoned me the next day and said, you've got it. And I thought,
Brilliant.
yes, it's a shoo-in. I'm in. It was one episode later, they didn't ask me back. I
No.
don't worry, I'll do it again. I'll go back.
And so round about that time of all that as well, you joined a band
I did.
as well.
Yeah.
Red,
Yep.
with Here Come All the Boys. Now I read up on that, and is it right that one of the reasons why it didn't get released straight away was because Girls Aloud brought something out with a similar video? Is
That's
that right?
exactly true. So we was like I was working a lot, and then I was doing, I basically this the band came along, and I started doing that. I started traveling, started gigging, started doing all the stuff that you know that you're supposed to do. Then we made a video, and it was played on MTV Hits. And then literally somebody, we had the same tour agent, so I think that's how it got round. They made near enough exactly the same video. I can't think what their song was, but it's in a garage. And ours was in a garage, and they just literally did it. They must have done it the next day, because then it was out. And then we had to make another video, but then it slowed everything down, and it didn't work really. But that again, great experience, it was amazing. Don't take anything from it. It was brilliant.
I've actually seen both versions of the video
Have you?
as well. Yeah, one's it's a clothes shop, isn't it? At the
Yeah, it's like a
tailor's. Yeah,
tailor's, yeah.
and is it right that you went on tour with Westlife as well?
When I was younger, I did. Do you remember Record of the Year?
Yeah.
I did all of theirs in the choir. That was really good. That
Wow.
was actually that. So now you're saying about the most famous people I've worked with, it's probably them.
Right. Brilliant. Brilliant.
Yeah, that was amazing. That was really
And
good.
you also had a bit of a spot as a dancer as well. Like, I know you said you wanted to be a dancer at one point, but is
Yeah.
that right?
Yeah.
Is it Uniting Nations? Is that what they were
Yeah. So,
called?
well, kind of. I did some backing vocals on a track, and a girl that did the original vocals didn't want to do it. So I
All
took her,
right.
and I ended up doing these weird random jobs in. I've been to Montenegro. I've done the MTV Awards in Romania.
Wow.
I've, you know, I was really lucky there. I went to all these strange places that I've never been to, like Bucharest, Budapest, the whole of Eastern Europe, the whole dance scene. It was amazing. See, that was
Yeah.
another good thing.
Yeah,
So yeah, I've
brilliant.
been really lucky.
What do you do now then?
So now I moonlight as an actress, but having a real
Right.
job, because
Right.
obviously everyone's got bills to pay, and I've got two children that cost me a fortune. So I work for a charity as an engagement officer, which I love, but it gives me the flexibility to obviously A, take care of my children, and B, to do my to do voiceovers and
Yeah.
casting little jobs here and there. And that's, I'm happy. I'm quite happy as
Yeah.
long as I'm working. That's all I ever said is I wanted to work. I mean, the dream was when you grow up, I wanted to go to Hollywood. I wanted to be, you know, Kate Winslet. That was my,
Yeah.
you know, ideal. But I'm just happy to be working and doing something that I actually love.
Yeah,
So I'm very
brilliant.
grateful.
Brilliant. And do you ever get recognized as Lisa?
I get what I get now is you look really familiar. Where do
Right.
I know you from? And the odd things that sit, like I was saying to you before, that Heeb's anti-drinking commercial, I get loads
Yeah.
of Scottish people that recognize me still from
Right.
that. And yeah, I do get the odd thing that, weirdly enough, my daughter's head teacher was like,
Right.
"You're doing great." I was like, "Oh, that's so weird. How do you do that?" He's like, "I remember you. Me and my wife were watching." And they both saw me. They was like, "Oh."
Right, wow.
So yeah, I get the odd. I really, you look really familiar. You know, people just looking at you for ages, like you look really familiar.
Yeah, because I don't think you look any different, I'll be honest.
You're
No, not at
not the
all.
same.
Yeah,
Oh,
definitely.
that's a good thing, I suppose. That's a good
Definitely. And are you still in touch with anyone from Grangehill?
I have to say this with great sorrow that I'm not.
Wow.
I'm not. I wish I was. I really do
Right.
wish I was. I probably will be now. Hopefully, someone will message me somewhere.
Yeah.
But I don't use social media, so that's probably why people
Right.
don't get in touch with me. Or I do, but I do it under a pseudonym so I can just
Ah,
snoop.
yeah, not clever. Yeah.
Snoop on people.
Yeah.
But no, I'm not, and I do regret that because I did. They were literally, honestly, I can't explain to you the bond that you create with people in those situations because you're going through such a transitional time anyway, you know, from that ages of like 10 to 17, that's the most you change in your entire life.
Yeah.
You know, you're going through your own stuff, hormones, teenage stuff, boys, girls, parents, you know, it's a crazy time. And then you throw in being on a massive TV show, you just only have each other. You're on the only, and it does feel like that. It really does.
Okay. Well, Charlie, we are coming towards the end. So I'm going to ask you the same few questions I ask at the end of every
Go on.
episode. So recently there's been talk of a Grangehill movie in the works. Phil Redmond has written it. Kellen Jones, who played a teacher in the Liverpool years, is involved. Sarah Sugarman, who was in Grangehill in the very early days,
Very beginning, yeah.
is going to be directing it as well. What do you think of the idea of a Grangehill movie?
I think if it's true to how he originally saw it and how it was originally, I think it would be amazing. If it, the only thing is how do you do that and make it? I mean, because the stuff now, when I look back, would probably be rated a 12, maybe something even a 15. But so how can you do that and let kids watch it? Because I want kids to watch it. I don't know, but it would be amazing. Oh, tell him I want to be a teacher, though. That's the only
I
situation.
mean, that's the thing, isn't it? Like, so when Grangehill was first on, they did a lot, and because there was a lot of older kids who watched it, because there was a lot of older kids in it, and it was all like you were saying there about it getting sort of the age got lowered, didn't it? Or CBBC wanted the age to be, or the output of their programs to only be 11, 11 and
And they're
under.
just becoming really like sort of commercialized, like
Yeah.
music, very states-like, like everything they wanted to be a bit like Nickelodeon, that kind of thing.
And I think that was when Phil Redmond said, look, there's no point in making this because it needs to be about high school kids. So high school kids will want to watch it.
Yeah, and high
And the
school
things that they
kids
do. And
in the UK.
I think if, as you just said there, Phil Redmond's involved, he's not going to let it be something he doesn't want it to be.
Yeah, which I hope it doesn't, because I think it's hard, isn't it, to not be railroaded in situations like that.
Yeah, definitely.
But I would love to see it. It's something I would love to see. And as long as they've got the same uniforms, I've got to have the purple and yellow.
Right, okay. And you just mentioned there about being a teacher, but if not, would we see the ghost of Lisa West come back instead?
Yeah, the ghost of Lisa West. That would be good. I like
Okay then. So, you've said that, you knew about Grangehill, you watched it occasionally and stuff. So other than Lisa West, who was your favourite character in
that. Oh,
Grangehill?
easy. It would have been Fiona Way's character.
Joanna, yeah.
I loved her. Absolutely loved her. I loved her as a person. At first, I didn't. I was like, oh my God, she's a kind of hero. She's so amazing. She was glamorous, attractive, sexy, confident, really talented, really nice. Just one of those people that you couldn't hate about anything. And she was brilliant. I loved watching her. And this is not to be mean or degrading or patronizing about someone, but she was a supporting artist. She
Yeah.
got that job from how good she was. That just shows you they obviously noticed her just being an extra and was like, she's got something, this girl.
Yeah.
We can work with this here. Because she wasn't in it from the beginning, was she?
No, she
Like from
wasn't. No.
she
It
was
was
sort of came in a bit later.
when they were older, she came.
Yeah. So she'd done like a few years as a supporting artist. I remember
Right.
them, and they took her from that. And I loved all the drinking stuff that she did. And I think maybe my first year would have been their sort of last year, like the
Right.
Mel and Carlene, that kind of
Yeah.
time. And I just loved watching her. Everything about her was fabulous.
Brilliant. And if you couldn't have played Lisa, which other character would you have liked to have played? Would it have been Joanna?
It would have been her, but it probably would have been a boy if I
Right.
had a choice.
Yeah.
Someone that had, it probably would have been Ozzy. It probably would have been
Right.
John's role. Because
Yeah.
I liked, I had a bit of a crush on him though at the time.
Right, okay.
I liked everything that he did. His storyline was great and he was really good at it. So it probably would have been his role I would have
Yeah,
liked.
he was really, I like, even as an adult, I watch that and I think, oh my God, I hate you. Like,
Yeah,
you
but
know.
it's weird. It's because I didn't hate him like I hated Ian's character. Like I
Right.
really, really disliked him.
Yeah.
There was something about him that it just wasn't so one dimension. You could sort of see that he could, I know he w turns out sort of good in the end,
Yeah.
but it's more, it shows like, it's not people. People aren't bad. They just do bad things.
He wasn't a thug, was he? He wasn't a thug
Yeah,
like
he
Sean
wasn't
was.
mean. He
Yeah.
was more mischievous, I like to
Yeah.
say.
Right. Okay. So the final question then, Charlie, is why do you think there's still such affection for Grange Hill?
I think it was an institution. I think for people growing up, it goes back to that habitual thing. I used to get in from school, you used to have a snack, and you knew that at 5 o'clock it was on Tuesday
Yeah.
and Thursday or whatever. I think that's when it was on when I was a kid. You knew that it was on and there was nothing else. Nowadays, those of us that are listening that have got kids or know what kids are like now, they're always doing stuff. Like my kids either at gymnastics or
Yeah.
this way. They're not really, and whatever they want to watch, they can watch whenever they want to watch it.
Yeah.
It was such a habitual type place to be. You come in, you if your mates were coming around or you knew you were going to play out or whatever, you'd have to wait until Granger was finished because you knew
Yeah.
neighbours would come after that. And if you bunked off school, you already watched that earlier in the day, so you were all right.
Yeah.
So I think, and it was, I really feel like it was real. People could relate to it, whatever it was. I mean, there were. We know that there were some far-fetched storylines. I mean, come on, some of them I think really, but it had so much value to the grit and the drama and the stuff that people would be going through. And also, if you weren't really going through that, there was loads of funny and comedic stuff as well.
Yeah.
So it sort of covered all bases. I think kids like to watch kids doing things that were relative to them.
Yeah.
I can't imagine kids now. What they watch. They watch things where, like Miley Cyrus, they're watching kids that are pop stars one day and at home the next. It's not really relative.
Yeah.
They can't relate to it. So I think that's the reason. And all the kids were real. Like never none of the kids were particularly glamorous or, I mean we're pretty down to earth type kids, I feel. I mean, I won't say that about myself, obviously I'm a
Yeah.
geek, but we were pretty down to earth type relatable kids, boys that you could fancy, girls that you would see in the supermarket. It was really relatable. I think that's my reasoning behind it. And it went on for so long.
Yeah.
There must have been something, it must have been doing something, right?
Yeah. Brilliant. Well, Charlie, thank you so much
No,
for
thank
coming
you for
on.
having me. I've enjoyed it so much. Do you know what? It's so nice to know that people actually, because when you're in it, you don't know how people are reacting to you. Apart from,
Yeah.
like I said earlier, apart from the odd people say to you, "Oh yeah, I'll watch it." I think the Double Dare Gang has created such an iconic moment for Grange Hill.
Yeah.
I'm just grateful to be a part of it. I really am. It was amazing, and I wish
Yeah.
I could do it all again.
Well, because like you just said there, the Double Dare Gang, years ago there was a thing on online. We did a thing about the top 50 characters in Grange Hill. And the Double Dare Gang, loads of people just bought the Double Dare Gang
Yeah,
rather
we
than
come as a package,
yeah.
which I'm happy to take. If we're in the
Yeah.
top 50 as a four, I'm down.
Yeah.
I'm not no Gary Barlow here in this situation. I'll take the place I'm given.
Brilliant. Well, once again, Charlie, thanks so much for coming on. It's been great.
No, thank you so much for having me.
Been great talking to you. And,
that's
and
such good fun.
And I've listened to your memories. And honestly, your memory, you're probably one of the best that we've had on here for any member and stuff. Like, so well done to you.
That's
good. So, yeah. But no, it's been great. It's been great talking to you. So thanks very much again. And to anyone that's listening, I'll speak to you next time. Cheers. Thanks. Bye-bye.